This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
3.5 hours of deliberations. We're well past that now. We're what? As of this recording, 10 plus. This is where we're at as we're having this discussion. No verdict yet, but we're going to keep watching. The jury went home for the weekend. 5 options on those slips. First degree, second degree manslaughter. Not criminally responsible or not guilty by reason of insanity. We're going to be talking about all that. Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, with us along with Robin Drake, retired FBI Special Agent Chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. Jen, you've been making a lot of comparisons on the internet, on Twitter over the weekend about some cases. I've gotten into it with you a little bit over the weekend. And I said, all right, we're going to talk about this one Monday. So we're going to talk about this one Monday. You went and started comparing her to Lori Vallow. For all of those, or for all of you Lindsay wasn't in her right mind and hearing voices, so was Lori Vallow. This is what you put out there. Where are all the pink shirts for her? I'm gonna reply, and then I'm gonna let you reply. Okay.
Didn't you already reply on Twitter?
I did, but I thought of this even more because I was like, what? What are you talking about?
Wait until you hear my reply.
For all of us who think Lindsay wasn't, it's not what we think she wasn't in her right mind. That's what the psychiatrist who evaluated her approximately 60 times testified to under oath. That's the medical record. That's what 30 different prescriptions document here. It's really not an opinion. She wasn't, that's established. She wasn't mentally well. So was Lori Vallow. A little different. Lori believed her children were zombies possessed by dark spirits as part of a doomsday religious ideology. She shared with Chad Daybell, this is not psychosis. This is not hearing voices. That's a belief system that she chose and she acted on over the course of months that she used to justify having her brother kill her ex-husband for $1 million life insurance policy that she maintained while she collected her dead children's Social Security benefits. And she held onto while she flew to Hawaii and got married 17 days after her husband's first wife was murdered. Lindsay Clancy went to the emergency room begging doctors to fix what was happening inside her head. Lori thought she was on a mission from God.
And also, and Lindsay said I checked my kids, and Lori said I didn't.
They're not the same thing.
Okay, so, first of all,
connect the dots for me where I'm not seeing how she's like Lori Vallow.
Lori's a nutter. I'm with you. Lori's bigger nutter.
That was absolutely a post for you, Tony. Because you remember our conversations where we argued whether Lori was sane or whether she wasn't. And I at that is the most facetious comparison for anybody who knows me and anybody who knew my stance on Lori Vallow. No one would have ever could ever take it anything but facetiously that I was pointing that out. And it was specifically at you because of our conversations about Lori Vallow, where you said, listen, and this is all true, she was declared incompetent to stand trial. Do you remember that? It took months. I thought 9 months or a year for her to reach her competency. I want to tell you what the doctors who evaluated her, what she has been clinically diagnosed with, delusional disorder, grandiose and precursory type, hyper-religious religiosity, personality disorder with narcissistic features.
Those are cluster Bs.
Ideations.
Yeah.
She was actually diagnosed. She is was treated.
These are nothing that Lindsay Clancy has.
I'm not saying it is, but just like you said, you know, are we going to say somebody's cockadoodle, you know, nuts, lost touch with reality? It doesn't matter whether they touch reality because of those four diagnoses or because of PPP. I never bought any of that then, and I don't buy it now. I don't think Lori Vallow, I think she should be 100% held responsible, and she was by two different cards. And I also think she should.
Okay, so you're saying there's not a comparison. You're saying it was facetious
that there's
oh, 100%. Anyone
okay.
knows
okay.
me. I was
okay.
just
okay.
Well, any I'm confused because you did a lot of comparisons. It seemed like one after another all weekend. Like how about this one? How about Earhart? Kaylee Earhart. Is it a copycat? No. Earhart's husband reported her threats to kill herself and her children to mental health services before the timeline even worked. CPS was notified. The threats predate the trial. Mothers killing their children is evil. Yes, nobody's arguing that mothers killing their children is not evil. I understand postpartum depression affects many, and mothers will need help. Her defense is not postpartum depression. It's postpartum psychosis. Depression is sadness. Psychosis is a break from reality. Hallucinations, delusions, a brain that no longer knows what's real. I mean, you know the difference. I mean, it's not a great comparison. So you made a lot of comparisons over the weekend, and I had to start going, okay, let's start looking at all of these. And I mean, other than the fact that children died and there's a very unhealthy brain in all of these, that's kind of where most of these end. It's like, yes, there's a psychological component and there's dead kids. But in terms of like the modality behind them, none of them are really that comparable. There's just not a lot of cases that are that comparable to this. There just really isn't that are well known publicly, I guess we could say.
Well, like I said, Tony, I would just argue, first of all, it was totally facetious. And I think most people caught that, not everybody, but most people caught that if they follow me and because they know how I felt about Lori Ballou.
Mm-hmm.
So that one was just saying, hey, for all of you trying to say this is a wackadoodle at the time, what about Lori Ballou? She actually has all this. So it's a terrible argument for both is my point.
Do you believe in that?
The other one that you named
Kaylee, the
gal,
Earhart.
Yeah. Earhart, the copycat. First of all, the other handle, her case was well before Earhart's. I know it, not the criminal trial. I'm just saying her case and it being in the news and all of us knew about that. Lindsay Clancy.
Publicity.
It was huge. And
yes,
all
the level of publicity. But the elements of the case aren't very similar.
She's going to use, I promise you, watch. We'll sit back and watch. Everybody record this. She's going to say she had PPP. It's coming out of the woodwork. People are going to use it as an excuse. I think you know that. We all know that. It's a
Are people going to use this as an excuse, or are we just going to start recognizing it more when maybe we haven't in the past? You know, we used to think people are possessed and we'd leech them and all sorts of shit. And then we've moved on going, oh, maybe there are some actual therapeutic things we can do to help people with whatever we think is wrong with them. We're actually not that far removed from leeching in terms of history. So, I mean, I wonder. I mean, yes, you know, could it be used more? Maybe. Yeah. I'm not going to say I know for sure or yes or no, but maybe this is something that, you know, is recognized as 1 in 1,000 right now. I do wonder, is that extremely accurate? Is it, you know, are we just going to be able to recognize more of this in ways that we clearly haven't? Because clearly they didn't even like recognize the bare minimum with Lindsay.
Hard to recognize when you don't tell your provider you want to harm your kids. Hard to recognize when you're not truthful about really how you're feeling. Hard to recognize when you don't mention anything about voices until
hard to recognize when you don't ask the right questions of your patient.
You know what?
So
if my patient lies, what am I going to do? I'm a tactical medic. Many of
asking
this.
Asking the questions first.
When I go and evaluate somebody and try to figure out the two things I'm figuring out, right? Is this trauma or is this a medical situation? I'm asking questions. If they lie to me, what am I going to do other than evaluate the signs and symptoms I see?
So here's the good thing. Let's go back to the question, because I'm curious about, Jen, about your viewpoint on our justice system, you know, because we have, you know, that you can claim not criminal responsible or not guilty by reason of insanity. We've had in our criminal justice system. It's been adjusted because the Constitution and our justice system is a self-correcting document. They tightened it up in 84 because of the Hinckley case, apparently, when I researched that. But according to, I'm having a hard time understanding, do you believe that we should not have the possibility of not be guilty by reason of insanity? Because like what's, because what, when, because people get afraid that, well, this is going to open the floodgates. Well, it hasn't in the past. I mean, so Andrea Yates, I mean, this is the first one of major notoriety since Andrea Yates. And we're seeing that we're seeing how tightly it's controlled. We're seeing how we're arguing of it. I mean, there hasn't been a fear. No, in other words, there's been no floodgates that have ever been opened from cases before. And everyone likes to use that as an excuse not to do it this time. But the bar is so high to even be able to claim. I mean, so here's an example. You know, Nick Reiner, his attorney is battling to try to see if he can claim not guilty by reason of insanity. And this looked like probably not. You know, he's not going to reach that bar. So, I mean, the bar for this is so high. But do you think we should even have it as one of the claims or one of the defenses they can use or no?
I do believe that it should be allowed for certain in mitigation. So, in other words, like Idaho is a perfect example where there is no reason of insanity, but it can be used. Those factors can be used in terms of sentencing to mitigate somebody's actions. I like that the best. So it's not that I don't think that that cannot be considered. This is the problem. No one ever, let's be honest, no doctor, remember Resnick failed in his first trial of Lindsay. They didn't buy his story.
Oh, Andrea, you're right.
I mean, did I say Lindsay? Sorry. Andrea Yates. Yep. It, you know, she was convicted. And then in the second trial, you have new people, you have a new presentation, whatever. Resnick, and then this time, you know, he did that analogy, which was critical, I think, what he did to basically blame it on religion. But no, I think I very much believe in mental health issues and mental health treatment and getting help. I know people might be shocked at this. I really do want Lindsay Clancy to receive help. And guess what? This is what I looked up over the weekend, was you wouldn't believe how great Massachusetts penal system, how great their prisons are at allowing and giving health care to their inmates, mental health care, psychiatrists and psychologists. And it's one of the best. And put her, lock her up. This is what I don't want. Her to have any chance whatsoever of ever getting out and tricking, because the only person that really knows whether she was or wasn't in her right mind, the only person is Lindsay Clancy. That's it. None of these, you know, psychiatrists know.
Yeah.
We can look at the facts, but we don't know.
And then they one person knows.
Yeah.
And so that means, how about this? Let's get rid of every single argument we have ahead of the outcome, because the outcome that you're seeking is actually pretty congruent with what we're all thinking, what many people are thinking. No one's saying we want her out, and everyone's saying we want her to get mental health treatment because she's got a broken brain. And I think that's where there's a lot of congruence, because that's what, I mean, I know Todd thinks that, Tony and I have talked about that. I think that, I mean, I'm not looking for her to be free. And that's why I think everyone keeps getting so wrapped up on the fear of her getting out, which isn't part of my calculation on this. It's us wanting to learn from it and the fear of this repeating again, which I think is why I want the outcome I'm looking for, is because I don't want this to happen again. And so that's, I think that's where we're all kind of more closer aligned than you would think, because it's the what and the how is you get to the why, and the why is we just want this to happen to her and also for people from this point forward. But let me get a little more clarification, if you could, Jen. Are you saying on the mental health issue, you'd only like to see it in mitigation of the sentencing for anyone, or do you actually still believe in it can be used as a defense?
Well, it's almost used as a defense no place, because typically the people have to show that they didn't understand right from wrong.
Right.
And they always screw up and try to hide it and, you know, do what she did, get the guy out of the house. They always leave all these little breadcrumbs so you could tell they absolutely knew right from wrong. That's why it's a high bar. So no, I do not want it to be used except for in mitigation on sentencing. As far as what you were discussing with these, with Clancy, I think she knew exactly what she was doing. So I want to be clear that I'm not at all crawfishing on that. I think she planned it, premeditated it, and did it in her right mind, not in some sort of mental fog that she couldn't control her actions. So just to I want to make that clear.
To get rid of her kids.
But yes, but I don't think that she's a healthy mind.
For what end? What do you think her, according to you, what do you think her end goal, like what was her intent to get rid of her kids? Where did she's, what was next?
Oh my gosh, it was too much. She was absolutely overwhelmed with the thought of now I've got to go back to nursing school and now I've got these kids to take care of and I'm not meeting up to, you know, what I want and how I want this to be and how I want everything to play out. And they're just too much. I got Dawson. He's a hot mess. I, you know, just went through this whole sleeping, trying to get Callan to sleep through the night. And I had to stop nursing and I don't want to be judged on all of this. And I think she just, that was it. It just,
you think she wanted to get rid of him so she could free up time?
Time, not time, control. She had totally lost control of how her trajectory of things. And she talks about that. She blames it on Dawson and Cora. Dawson and Cora aren't allowing me to be the mother I could be to Callan.
So she planned that out.
See the resentment.
So if you say she planned it out, what was her plan? I mean, so the plan is to kill him and then what?
The plan was to kill him, which she did exactly
and
what
go back
she
to her regular life? That's what you think her plan was?
Blended it. Oh, no, no, no. I think it was critical, and she well knew she needed to have a convincing argument that she tried to take her own life. But she made too many mistakes. That's what people do.
So the plan was to kill him, fake her suicide.
Kill him. Well, she did kill them, and that was her plan. So, yes.
And that she's going to fake her S and then get away with it. That's you.
Yes,
plan was
100%. She cut her veins in the wrong way. She superficially cut. She did not use the knife that most individuals who do this. And I mean, literally, I cannot find another case where you use a 6.5 butcher knife. You use a paring knife or something small you can control. I bet you that thing was dull. We'll see what the jury comes.
Shows a lack of planning, doesn't it?
You know what it shows is these different ways. No, she planned all this, sure.
Except,
oh, I'll do a couple
right
cuts here. I'm going to do it in front of the mirror.
Sounds pretty like someone in a state of psychosis to me.
What you're forgetting? She looked up, even though she's a nurse, you're forgetting she Googled, where is the carotid? Now, you might argue, and a lot of people argue, see, this is why it's
okay,
planned, everyone. She stood in front of the mirror. A carotid artery is difficult. Even as a tactical medic, I can tell you, yes, it's right here. But then where else can I cut? Like, at this point, is it going to deviate a little this way, a little this way? So she makes a couple of little cuts, lowers herself. There's blood on the sill. There's blood on the shingles. She lands on her back. There's absolutely no contusions, bruises, nothing on her head.
How come no one testified to that?
They did.
No, they didn't.
Oh,
yes, it was all debunked. It was all debunked.
No, no. Please go look at
the prosecution. The prosecution at the closing even gave up on the crawling down the side of the building. The prosecution didn't even include it in their closing.
Oh, on that, I'm talking about the head. The bruises that were
the whole theory of her crawling out the window to fake it, that the prosecution didn't even
there was a bullshit theory by a police officer that was debunked.
Right.
Well, you can call it debunked. Was there blood there?
Well, it wasn't ever a thing. It was somebody's just like spouting off their opinion. It wasn't like studied or anything. It was like,
and then they
looked at it and they're like, nope, it wasn't that.
Every single medical expert in there said this was a serious. Both sides said this was a serious S attempt, a very serious S attempt, not a crawling down the side of the house thing.
I don't think she went head first. That's a serious S attempt when you dive into the ground.
They all said that she did.
So the experts that do this for a living that said they did, they're wrong.
All I'm saying is I look at facts, and I was listening. I remember listening, and I'm like, oh my gosh, okay.
So they all missed it. And you got it right.
She landed on her back. Where was her? And then when they said she didn't have any contusions, bruises, nothing on her head.
Explain how that works. I mean, if you don't know how that works and you understand the dynamics and the force and all that shit that I don't know much about.
So you dive out then, like 20
feet. But then you hear the expert's testimony. You learn that, well, you really can have this happen without contusions here and there.
She didn't explain that. All she said was, yeah, that's what happened. I was waiting for her to say it.
But you can look it up yourself. I mean, that's how I understood it. I looked it up. I'm like, well, how can this happen? Because I was weird. I'm like, why isn't there any of that? And then you look it up. Oh, okay. This is typically actually how that happens when somebody makes a landing of that nature and then what it actually looks like. Okay.
Jefferson fracture also could occur when she landed as she was found on her back. How do you dive head first? And then you don't hit your head, and then you're on your back.
So, when the prosecution have brought that up, Jen, and not you? I mean, seriously. I love that we're trying to focus on the facts of what was presented in the testimony. No one testified to what you're saying for the prosecution.
The defense brought it up, and the defense, I think, was eviscerated on cross. Because that doctor stuck to her guns without the physical support. And all she would say was, yes, yes. So please go back and review that. I will too.
Okay. But
specifically, it was asked, and wait a minute, doctor, did she have any bruises? Did she have any contusions? Anything on her head? No. Did she land on her back? Yes. Oh, well, why? And you say she dove head first. Yes. Give me more. Give me something more. And I also say, don't forget that Lindsay Clancy was an acrobat.
You're comparing her acrobatic abilities at the age of 13?
No, don't. Have you seen these girls? They are the best athletes.
She's in her 30s. Can you do what you did at like 18 when you were in your 30s? Maybe you could. I don't know. A lot of people can't.
I mean, I can't do it as well.
So
I'm on my trampoline. Because she was around.
So there's also incongruence between. Yeah, but there's also incongruence of. So she's every single medical professional there, both sides said she's got severe S-itization. That she's severe, you know. And so what you're claiming then too is that even though she had severe S-itization, and she's still on S watch right now, longest that the clinicians have seen for 3 years while she's in custody, and then all of a sudden she's going to fake it. Okay. There's incongruence between that.
This is what's incongruent to me. Voices, whatever we want to say, her loss with reality, kill your kids. Oh, she did a great job with that. Now, I need you to take your life. Oh, fail.
I've heard so many prosecutors say that. Yeah, you're great at killing others, but not at killing yourself, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because you know why? She thought, oh, ouch, it hurt. And that's when she snapped into reality. How about when Cora and Dawson were screaming for their life over the 3.5 minutes it would have taken?
Unfortunately, we don't have our own control over our own psychosis. That's what makes it psychosis.
My bet is if she did a better job of doing that to her throat and wrist, she wouldn't have jumped out of the window.
And she didn't because it hurt. She didn't really want to hurt herself. Ouch. Ouch. It wasn't more important to her to take her life. The ouchie hurt. And by the way, again, the wrong direction. She's a nurse. She knows how to cut those veins.
Maybe. They don't teach you how to kill yourself in medical school.
They don't?
I'm a tactical medic, and she had way more training and education than me.
Listen to my daughter learning. I had to go to extra school to learn how to do stitches and close up a cesarean section is kind of gives you an education on what they actually do learn and don't learn coming out of that, going to the labor and delivery.
Yeah, I just truly believe she didn't try. Now, do I think there was a huge error in her judgment and she never thought she would be paralyzed? That's why the timing was important. Patrick's got to come home. He's got to save me.
So you're telling me she was thinking logically that if I kill the kids, I attempt to kill myself, but I survive, I will be found not guilty, and we can just continue on with our lives, or I can continue on my life however I want to.
And I think it's very possible she's going to be found not guilty now.
But I'm going back to what was the mindset? Yes. What was she thinking at
100%.
That
moment? 100%. She's calculating.
What do you guys think? Tell us in the comment section on Substack, and YouTube links are in the description. We'll continue the conversation right there. Jennifer Coffendaffer, Break the Case. Get it wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube. Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent. Give us your pitch for Masterclass.
Yes. I have my new class on Masterclass. It's Become the Person Everyone Trusts. It was a great segue for today. You can go anywhere you get Masterclass, and you get other 200 other classes on there. So check it out. Thanks.
Links in the description as well. Go and check that out. Press subscribe. Until next time, for Jennifer, for Robin, and Todd, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.